Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And I'm going to be dealing just simply with the subject of watch and pray. Just started meditating on those words Jesus said to his disciples and what it means and what's inside of it and what it implies. And so we'll begin reading. This is following on the heels of the betrayal by Peter of our Lord, where he boasted that, he would not be offended. God said, you're going to be offended and be scattered and so forth in verse 31. And I'll just read it, verse number 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Just think of that state. Jesus said, you're going to be offended because of me. What about that? For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I think he meant that, don't you? I don't think he was just idly speaking those words. I think he meant it. But he was making that statement in the flesh and based on the flesh. And you can't trust or have any confidence in the flesh. It'll fail you for sure. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee that this night, note those two words, this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. I think not only did Peter mean it when he said it, I think that he was saying these words to try to impress the Lord. I believe he was trying. That's why when Jesus said, no, you're gonna deny me three times tonight, this evening, before the cock crows at dark, you're gonna deny me three times. And then, of course, Peter trying to impress the Lord, I think. He said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. So we know the context now is that of prayer, okay? And Jesus, and this is just a good simple thing to think about. If Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, saw the need of prayer, saw the need of personal, private, perpetual prayer, spending all night in prayer many times, then how much more should I pray? If God manifest in the flesh needed to pray and wanted to pray, how much more should you and I pray? Because for sure we need it. We need it for sure. Then cometh Jesus unto them in a place called Gethsemane and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Note that statement. That's helping us to see how Jesus is feeling, even in the context of prayer. He says there that he's beginning to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. What an example for you and I tonight. Verse 40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? I mean, it's just like an element of of disturbance, an element of disappointment. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? It's almost like Jesus was, you mean to tell me as what just little I ask of you, you couldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. Watch and pray, he said to them again, verse 41, that ye enter not into temptation. That the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, and saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again. It's sad, isn't it, that we fail him in one area at one time, but isn't it true with all of us that many times Jesus has to put the word again on our life that, yeah, you've done it again. You failed again. Same thing again. And so he came and the Bible said that he found them asleep again. And for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Now there's you a proof text that it's not bad to pray the same thing over and over. Devil will get on your shoulder. Well, you done prayed that. Well, Jesus went three times and prayed the same thing. The Bible said he went and prayed the same words again. In verse 44, verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. I wonder if they even heard that. They was asleep when he said that. Sleep on now. They were asleep, so he didn't wake them up. And they missed out on him saying that the hour's at hand, the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. And then verse 46, he wakes them up. Rise, let us go. Be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Speaking of Judas. And then the story goes on speaking about him. Let's bow for this word of prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, speak to us. We all need challenging concerning our praying. And Lord, we certainly have the greatest of all examples, Lord, in the scripture for us. And that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you along with the disciples, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And so Lord, we ask you now that your will would be done. And Lord, that you would speak to us and challenge us just simply from these truths. And Lord, what you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this passage that I read and the context of it is found also in Mark's gospel as well as Luke's gospel. Mark chapter 13. Verse 33 down through verse number 37. We find also in Mark chapter 14, verse 37 down, just two verses, 37 and 38 in Mark's gospel. That's talking about watching and praying and this scene that we read to you out of Matthew's account. And prayer is a great emphasis in the life of our Lord. We know he was a preacher. We know he was a preacher. It was he that said, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel and so forth. So we know he was a preacher, but Jesus was a prayer. And we need to learn that. Not everybody maybe can be a preacher like Jesus was, but we can all be prayers like him. And I believe it'd probably do us well to do a study on how did Jesus pray, where did he pray, when did he pray, how did he pray, and what circumstances did he pray. And Lord may lead us in that. I don't know. We'll just see. But I'm interested in that statement where Jesus asked them to watch with me. Verse 36, he invited them to, let's see if it's verse 36, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then he comes on over in verse number 41. He says, watch, or end of verse 40, watch with me 1 hour. Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So there's a lot of emphasis in this passage on watching. But they weren't watching, they were sleeping, which is right the opposite. And so I want us to just look at this, and we all know the setting here. This is when Jesus was going into the Garden of Gethsemane. And the word Gethsemane means an oil press. This is a place where they would take the olives and press them and press the oil and crush them to get the oil out. And it was a place of crushing. It was a place of merciless crushing. And Jesus himself went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And if this passage reveals to us, this was one of the first things that caught my attention, was that Jesus was needing his disciples at this point. If he didn't need them, why did he take them with him? He took the disciples in general with him so far, and then he tells them verse number 36, he takes the disciples and he says to them, sit ye here while I go yonder and pray. And then when he goes yonder to pray, verse 37, he takes Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him. Peter, James, and John, as we know, to be the inner circle of the disciples. And so he goes with the three and he takes them into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he asked them, in verse 38, tarry ye here and watch with me. Do you see in that statement there, Jesus is basically saying, I need you. Not just I need you to be here physically, but I need you to pray. I need you to pray with me. I need you to watch with me. I need you involved in my situation. Now you tell me if that don't speak to your heart about how bad that situation was for Christ. He asked for help. He didn't word it that way, but he was needing God's. Does that ring a bell to us that God needs us? I know I've heard it said. I've never said it, but I've heard it said, you know, God doesn't need us. Well, that violates all kinds of scriptures. You know, God needs us. Jesus Christ needs us to be what we are supposed to be, to pray and be sanctified and spiritual and spirit-filled and serving. He needs us in those areas and many more. But as I began to think among those statements about prayer, and of course we find the emphasis of watching and praying elsewhere, not just in Matthew and Mark and Luke, but also in Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and listen, and watching. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So you see, even in that verse, again, you have watching and praying mentioned together. Nehemiah 4 in verse number 9, when they were being attacked by Sanballat and Tobiah, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So I want us to just look. These are just simple thoughts that the Lord gave to my heart as I meditated on that term, watch and pray. And the first thing that I see in this setting here, number one, I see the authority of Jesus in prayer. The authority of Jesus in prayer. And I get that in these verses. Look at verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane. And listen to his authority stepping up right here. And saith unto his disciples, sit ye here. That wasn't given as a suggestion. That was given as a command, an order. Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray yonder. So there's the authority there. Look at verse 38. We see it again, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. Again, a command, not a suggestion, not a recommendation. Jesus is using authority to tell his disciples where to sit and what he expects out of them. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And I thought about that. As Jesus said, sit ye here, the Bible says, or the definition that sit ye here means to make to sit down. And he's picking out a spot there, Brother Craig. He said, sit ye here. He didn't just say sit down as if you choose wherever. Jesus had a specific spot in mind, and he says authoritatively to his disciples, sit here. And he made them to sit down. And then we show you this. The Lord showed me this. This is good, I think. Jesus' authority is shown through his word. Okay? Look at verse number 36. Look at verse 36. I'm not going to reread it, but the Bible said, you know, he came to the place called Gethsemane and saith unto them. His authority came through his words, what he said unto them. Verse number 38, you see it again. Verse 38, and he saith, then saith he unto them. And what did he say to them? Tarry here and watch with me. So his authority comes through his expressed word. And you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I don't believe that we're going to have an effective prayer life if we are rebellious against the authority of Jesus, even in the small things such as, I want you to sit right here. I want you to sit right here, and I want you to tarry here. There's no indication here, ladies and gentlemen, there's no indication here of any kind of rebellion. When Jesus was telling them what to do, when Jesus was telling them when to do it and where to do it, Jesus covered all three of those areas, but yet you find no mention of argument. No, none of them said, but why do I have to sit here? I'd prefer to sit over there. You don't find any arguments. You don't find any negative or fleshly verbal response to the Savior. They were showing submission. When he said, sit ye here, they sat there. They sat down, as he said. When he said, tarry here, guess what? As he went through this whole passage, every time he came back, guess where they was at? Same place. So I just see here that the importance of the authority of Christ in prayer. Can we expect Jesus to hear us when we pray our words if we don't listen to him when he speaks from his word? How many people have we have our prayer lives rendered anemic because of not listening and not obeying, even when Jesus is speaking and giving to commands, Brother Cody, sit here, tarry here, watch with me. But I don't think he's going to be too quick to listen to us if we're not too quick to listen to him. Well, Lord, you tell somebody else to go and do that. I'm too busy. I don't have time for that. I don't like that spot you've got for me. Can you see where they could have gotten? Well, I don't like that spot. I don't let make Peter sit over there, Lord. I don't think I ought to sit over there. That's not the best spot. I need to be over here. I want to be over here, Lord. Is it all right if I come over here? And we're quick to give suggestions to the Lord, and we're quick to listen to what he says, and you know, and and try to simplify it to where it more and best suits us. Lord, that right there looks like that hard ground. I don't know if I want to sit right there. That's awful hard. It looks like a lot of rocks and maybe a few briars. Who knows? Over there's a good patch of grass. Lord, I think I ought to sit over there. In fact, there's more shade over there. Isn't it amazing how instead of listening to the authority of Christ's words to direct us and lead us, a lot of times we try to get in a discussion matter with the Lord and say, well, you know, why not this place? And I don't think I ought to go to that spot. And by the way, how many of us know that God has spots for us? God has places for us, amen? And listen, it's a good thing to be in your spot and to be in that place. There's no better place to be than in that spot where Jesus said, sit right here. Amen. The authority of Jesus is seen in prayer. And that's attached to our praying. That's attached to this situation right here. Number two, I see a second truth that's, I think, worth mentioning. I see the abiding with Jesus in prayer. Jesus said, sit ye here, which means to have a fixed abode. It means to continue. It means to dwell. So when Jesus was saying, sit here, he's saying to them, I mean for you to treat this as a fixed position. I mean for you to continue in this spot. I mean for you to dwell here. Can Jesus, what he's saying is, I want to be able to count on you. When I go yonder and pray and I come back, if he came back and they were gone somewhere else, they would have been Baptists probably. But he didn't. He came back and guess where they were? Right where he set them, right where he placed them. So there's an abiding with prayer. I wonder if our prayer life is not as effective as it needs to be, not only because maybe we're not as in alignment with the authority of Christ as I've already shown you, but maybe it's because that we are not where we need to be. We're not abiding, we're not continuing, we're not dwelling. And let me give you a good example of that, just came to mind. You remember when the Bible said in the book of Genesis that God came into the garden in the cool of the day to walk, I'm paraphrasing, with Adam. And he came into the garden, Brother Carroll, and he hollers out, Adam, where art thou? You know where God was at right then? God was in the spot and in the place where he had regularly been meeting with Adam. God showed up every day in that same spot. And he met with Adam right there. And they would take their little journey, a stroll of fellowship. And so now, after the fall, God comes back to the same place, Brother Ryan. And guess who is not there? And by that whole setting there, it indicates that God was expecting Adam to be there. Do we have a consistency of abiding with Christ to the point that we are where we need to be? Amen. Sit ye here. Here? That word here means in this same spot or place is what word here means. But Jesus didn't just tell them to sit ye here, but he also used a strong word, verse 38, tarry ye here. Now, don't that sound familiar? When in Luke 24, Jesus said to his disciples, go to Jerusalem and do what? Tarry till you be endued with power. Go there and dwell. Go there and abide. Go there and stay until the Comforter arrives. The word tarry means to remain. It means to abide or to continue to be present. I don't know if they do it in class now. Miss Paula Sue and Miss Brooke probably could help me with that. But when I was in school many moons ago, It was an uncommon, especially in the elementary grades, that we'd do roll call. Y'all still do that, roll call? Or you just say, sometimes you do. And they would do roll call, and they would call out, Jim. And they'd say, here, Sue, Sally, Barry. And sometimes it was silent, and sometimes it, here, depending on what I wanted to do or didn't want to do. Shouldn't have said that, probably. But he's telling us there that that word means to continue to be present. We'd say here or else we'd say present. And when I went to Bible college, they would even say that. They'd take the roll call. They'd go down through the list of those in the class on the first class of the evening and want to know if everybody was there. And he'd just go down through there and we'd say present, present. Each one, whoever the name was, present. Jesus wants us to be able to say, are you here? Are you where I want you to be? Are you where I've told you to be? Can we say present? Abiding is associated with Christ. And in the setting of prayer, if we're not abiding and have that dwelling in the same spot, that fixed abode, that continuing, that tarrying and remaining and abiding, and if we don't have that in our day, and you know, listen, circumstances is geared in your life to move you out of your place, to cause you to not be where God wants you to be. Amen. I wished it was automatic. Can I get a witness right there? I wish it was I could just stay put and abide because just simply God said to, and you know, winds and storms and situations and circumstances and so forth, it's just not going to move me. But when Jesus said, tarry here, he's saying, you do it. Me continuing, me abiding is not what Christ does for me. It's what I do for him. And I know this may be elementary preaching, but I'm telling you, we're in a day where people are shaky and they may be sticking now and continuing now, but I mean at any given time they could say, I'm out of here. And you look around and call their name as if it were, and they're silent. They can't say, present, I'm still here, I'm in the place. An example just came to my mind about the importance of that is when in Acts chapter 16. You remember the story? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and God got so caught up in the praise and got so caught up in what was going on that he may have started stomping his foot. I don't know. But anyway, it caused a great earthquake, and the doors of the prison were open. Now, when a prison door is open for prisoners, where do you think they're going to go? Adios, amigos. Amen. And the jailer knew, Brother Aaron, that if he came in and there was prisoners gone everywhere and has escaped, that meant he had to die. He was held bound by his own life to keep all of them secure. And so the Bible said that he sprang in and he came in, the Bible said, trembling. And you know what Paul said? Do thyself no harm. We are all here. The doors are open, the opportunity to flee, the opportunity to vacate, the opportunity to vanish, and I probably would have, let's just be honest. But Paul knew the importance of abiding. In fact, here's how important it was for him to abide. When the jailer said these words, what must I do to be saved? There wasn't a silence because of an absence. There was a voice that came from Paul and Silas that said an answer to that word, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So it's important that we have an abiding, continuing quality in the area of prayer. Find out where God wants you. Find out what God wants you to be and get in that spot and stick, amen, and continue and tarry. And tarry. So there is an abiding with Jesus in prayer. Thirdly, A third thing that I see in this setting, not only the authority of Jesus in prayer, the abiding with Jesus in prayer, but thirdly, there is an alertness with Jesus in prayer. Look at verse 38. He closes the verse by saying, "Watch with me." Watch with me. Now, keep in mind, this is on the very brink of the betrayal, and Judas is on his way, probably at this very moment, leading the soldiers, selling Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus was telling the disciples, "Keep your eyes open, boys. Help me watch. Help me watch." And boy, that just simple thought, that word "watch" means to keep awake, to be vigilant, be watchful, give strict attention to, be cautious, be active. That's what the word "watch" means. When Jesus said to them, "Watch with me," he's saying, "Keep your eyes open, be alert." I believe the devil's plot and plan when he attacks is to catch us off guard. Catch us in a spirit of slumber. When you're asleep, you're unconscious and you're very vulnerable, and the enemy can make his move. And the Bible shows us here there needs to be an alertness to prayer. I think that probably if we was more alert, keep awake, be vigilant, be watchful, give strict attention to, that if we would do that, more times than not, we would probably see what the enemy's doing or where he's making his move, and we wouldn't be surprised and we wouldn't be caught off guard. And we would have time to respond and be ready and be alert. Amen. There needs to be an alertness. The enemies of our Lord was always watching for him, wasn't he? I mean, they was constantly, no matter where Jesus went, they were watching for him to try to catch him, and always even fabricate stories to try to get him arrested. But the enemies, Miss Candy, was watching for the Lord. But his own followers was not watching. God have mercy. Jesus is needing us. Amen. So there's an alertness that is needed in prayer with Jesus. Number four, I see also in this setting here, there is the association with Jesus in prayer. And I get that in verse 38, the last two words, when Jesus said, "Watch with me." With me. Jesus said, I need you to be with me. He just got through saying in the previous verses, "Peter, you're going to deny me." And you know that hurt the Lord. You know that disappointed the Lord. When he told Peter, "This night you're going to deny me three times." But here he's saying to them, "I need you to be with me. I need you to watch with me." Jesus is saying he's going to be doing it, but he needs you to be doing it too, with him. And boy, I looked up that word with him, as in this text, and here's what it means. It means accompaniment. It means association. To be joined to be in participation with. Jesus, oh, come on now. Do we want him to be with us when we are going through a valley, when we're under a burden, when we're in a trial, when we're facing circumstances and it's dark and it's difficult and we don't know which way to go? Do we not want him with us? Well, in our text, it's reversal. He's wanting us with him. Can he count on us? Could he count on these men? he wanted to. It don't say how long he was there before he sat down. They sat down, they got comfortable, and you have to watch that. You have to watch that. Comfort, being comfortable is an enemy of your prayer life. How many has got in a good position to pray, and you wasn't in that position long till you was unconscious? Huh? That's one reason I have to pray moving around a lot of times. By myself, I'll just be pacing the floor, walking around. Go somewhere where I can just walk around and pray. Because if I get just on my knees and get still, son, that spirit of slumber will come barking over the hill, amen. That spirit of slumber will get on you, and next thing you know, you're asleep. Or else your mind is out in la-la land and your prayers is not effective. But there is an association. He said, with me. The disciples, look at verse 35. When Peter said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Look at the next statement. Likewise also said all the disciples. All of the disciples said, oh, Lord, you can count on us. We are not going to do that. You know what they were doing? I got it wrote right in the edge of my Bible here. They were following Peter more than they were following Jesus. Oh, Peter's one that spoke up and popped off first. Oh, Lord, you can count on us. Hey, we'll die with you. We're not going to be offended. And the rest of the crowd looked at Peter. Oh, Peter said it. Yeah, we count us in on that too. Yeah, and we know what happened after the crucifixion too, don't we? Peter said, I go fishing. And guess what the rest of them said? We're going with you. You have to watch it. You have to be careful. We have to be careful. Loyalty in the area of friendship is good to a point. To a point. But when people starts deviating from Christ and deviating from the will of God and deviating from the Word of God, that's when you draw the line. That's when you draw the line and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going with you. I'm not going to go with you. Amen. I love you, and I believe you love me. I hope you do. And listen, but if I ever deviate from those Scriptures, don't follow me. That's scriptural. Don't you think that's scriptural? 1 Corinthians 11, Paul speaking, he said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul said, follow me. That is, mimic me, imitate me. He said, imitate me as long as I am following Christ. As if to say, when I don't follow Christ, when I'm going off track from Christ, he's saying that's when you stop the loyalty. That's when you stop and say, wait a minute, preach, I love you, but I can't follow you in that. It's not scriptural. Amen. And my desire is to be in alignment with the Scriptures. There's an association. Jesus said, I don't need you to be with Peter. I need you to be with me. I need you to be following me. I need you to be loyal to me. Amen. Jesus remained true. I like this. Jesus sets us a good example. I was meditating on this coming from the house to the church, and the Lord spoke to my heart about this. Brother Mike, Jesus sets the example for us. Here Jesus, in our text, is in the worst, heaviest load of his life at this point. And he knows that he's going to the cross. He knows he's fixing to be arrested. And he knows that following that, there's going to be the slapping in the face and the being spit on. And he knows that the beating in Gabbatha's hall. And he knew the whipping post and the scourging. He knew all of that was soon to follow. And ultimately on the cross, he was going to deal with something he's never dealt with before. And that is becoming our sin, becoming sin and the Father turning his back on him. For the first time in all of eternity, there was a break, there was a separation, there was a break of fellowship between the Father and the Son. Amen. Jesus shows us an example right here. Boy, this spoke to me coming over here. Even when those that Jesus was saying, I need you, those that Jesus was wanting to be involved in his Gethsemane, when he came and saw them being unfaithful and saw them being unalert and saw them sleeping and slothful, you know what Jesus did? Did he quit? Did he collapse? Did he throw in the towel and say, man, if this is the kind of followers I have, if this is the kind of friends I've got, then I'm just going to quit. No. Jesus sets the standard. Yes, he wanted them. Yes, he shows he needs them. But when they were sleeping three times, and finally he said, just sleep on and take your rest. You know what Jesus did? Jesus just stayed faithful. Jesus stayed faithful and kept praying, and even to the point that his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. All of us should be able to say to each other, I need you. I want to be a laborer together with you, co-laborer, and let's serve God together. But if you start deviating, if you start... Or if I start, you start. If any of us start bailing out and going the wrong direction, giving in to the weakness of the flesh, guess what we ought to do? Draw the line. Say, you know what? You may have the spirit of sleep on you and the spirit of slumber on you, so to speak, as in our text, but I'm going to continue to do what I know God wants me to do. Now, brother, I'm going to tell you right now, that's hard to do sometimes. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. When preaching at Tabernacle the other night, what a dream come true that was. What an honor that was for me to stand in that pulpit. Dr. Harold Seitler had stood for so many years, and Dr. Oliver B. Green and Mays Jackson and B.R. Lakin and some of the greatest preachers that's ever lived has stood in that pulpit. Are you listening? And I made this statement, my graduating class in 1985. I said, very few of them are still even in the ministry. That's sad, Brother Craig. Some of my graduating class, several of them, are not even in the ministry. But you know what? That ain't shaking me. By the grace of God, that is not going to shake me. I'm going to keep doing what I know God wants me to do. And sometimes that is hard, friend, when you have attachments to people. People don't understand, and you have to be a pastor probably to understand it. But when God puts you in a church and hooks you up with a pastor, it's not just a pew and pulpit relationship. There's a spiritual attachment. And when I get bad news of somebody, they fail, they've made some choices, you know, and they're going in a sinful direction, they're going in an unspiritual direction, I want to tell you, it is not uncommon, Brother Mike, for me to lay awake half the night. It was probably Friday night. My wife told me about a family that came here that I love dearly, invested many hours in. I'm talking about personally, one-on-one, dealing with counseling in their circumstance and situation. Just disappear, don't say bye, see you, not even a text. And my wife said they just joined a church up the street, up a road. I watched the clock. 1, 2, 3. Rips your heart out. But I ain't quitting. You know why? Because it's just like Jesus shows us the example right here. Jesus shows right, you know, he was disappointed in them. What? What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He prayed 3 hours. He said you couldn't watch 1 hour. You couldn't stay alert 1 hour to see the greatest demonstration of prayer and surrender and submission exemplified by the Savior. But Jesus just kept doing what he came to do without their support, without their watchfulness, without their praying. He just kept right on. And buddy, that's hard to do. I'm going to tell you that is difficult. And some don't do it. Some don't do it. That's when it's easy to quit right there. That's it. That's when it's easy to quit, when you have somebody close to you start going off track. Especially going off track if you follow them, it's going to get you out of your spot. That's when it's difficult. But we need to be like the Savior, to the point that we are so attached to our spot and to where God told us to sit and what God told us to do. We need to be so attached that we stay put and we stay faithful as Jesus exemplified. Last, there's the asking with Jesus in prayer. And prayer just simply means asking. So there's the asking of prayer. I wrote this down. I don't know where I got it, but I wrote it in the flyleaf of my Bible. And I encourage you to write in your Bible, you know. I got wrote in my Bible right here, prayer will help you accept, as Jesus reveals, the will of God. When he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He said that in prayer. Prayer will help you, accept the will of God. Secondly, I got wrote down here in verse number 40, prayer will help you deal with the weakness of others. When Jesus came and he found them asleep and their flesh was weak, but the spirit is willing, prayer helped Jesus to deal with that weakness of other people. And then thirdly, prayer will help you deal with the wickedness of others. Judas came and kissed him on the cheek and had him sold out the whole time. Didn't betray him with a slap. He betrayed him with a kiss. Goodness. But it'll help you deal with the will of God, the weakness of others, and the wickedness of others. May the Lord help us to be praying and watch and pray. Be alert. Be on guard. We're in perilous days. We are in difficult days. Amen. And I believe if we'll be more of a people of prayer and be watchful, be alert, be attentive, be committed, I believe we probably could see a lot of things the devil's doing, or at least we would discern it. We may not could see it physically with our eyes, but we could discern it. And we've all been there probably. I hope you have, or maybe, I don't know. But I know I've been there. I couldn't see anything wrong outwardly, and I couldn't see it. But in my heart, I discerned something wasn't right. And I've learned, Brother Aaron, to pay attention to that. Amen. Let's all pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for helping me tonight. Just look at some simple truths here out of the Garden of Gethsemane concerning the praying of the Son of God. And the people that should have been praying with him, being watchful and being alert, how the flesh was so weak in that area of prayer. Lord, I believe if we ever have a weakness in our flesh, and we do have a lot of it, it's going to be revealed when there's a need to pray, when there's a time pushing away and sitting down and just being exclusively tuned in to praying. Lord, that's when the weakness of the flesh is going to arise. Lord, if we want to know how strong our flesh is, it's when we start submitting ourselves to prayer and start trying to pray, and we'll find out just how strong, fleshly speaking, that our flesh is. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts in the service tonight in this time of invitation, Lord. Speak to us. We need help. I need help. We all need help. Our church will never go beyond its praying.